Are we live? Oh, we are very live. This was happening last week too, wasn't it? Some said it thundered. Some said it was feedback. All right. Good morning, Bradley Epworth. Again, nice. Well, the funny thing about today is I was looking at my calendar, not my Gregorian calendar, but my Jewish calendar, and I was like, oh, today's a very special day. And so something funny has kind of happened because, you know, the growth of the church over time, we kind of developed our own calendar system apart from the Jewish calendar system. And so we retain, you know, some of the same things. We've got, you know, Passover, we've got Good Friday, and then we have Pentecost. And in the Jewish tradition, they have Passover, and then they're going to have Pentecost 50 days later. But in the Christian tradition, we've already had Pentecost. But in the Hebrew tradition, according to the lunar calendar, it's not happened yet. Actually, we're in a period of time between Passover and Pentecost called the counting of the Omer. And if you're not familiar with what this is, after Passover, there's another holiday called the Feast of First Fruits, and it's when Jewish people would bring in the first of their agricultural harvest, usually barley. And they couldn't take of the barley, they couldn't take of the grain until they first took it to the temple and consecrated the first fruits to the Lord, and then the rest of the harvest became okay for them to eat, sell, do whatever they want to do with it, right? And so, which is really cool because we see, right, Jesus is called the first fruits as well, right? He's the first fruits from the dead, right? And if Jesus was risen from the dead, right, then that means all those that follow him will rise from the dead. And that's part of our great hope, right? And so it's not just a pie in the sky by and by, but we're like, wow, if Jesus was raised from the dead as the first fruits, and he was presented in the heavenly temple, then we too will rise with him, and we also will be where he is someday. So anyway, the cool thing is today is day 40 of the counting of the Omer. And does anyone know what happened on the 40th day after Jesus' resurrection? Ascension. This is Ascension Day on the Hebrew calendar. This is the 40th day. Jesus would have been speaking and preaching about the kingdom, and today would be the day that he'd say, sayonara, guys, I'm putting it in your hands. And he left it in the hands of 12 dudes, actually 11 at that point, because one, unfortunately, didn't make the cut. 11 guys, the fate of the world rests in your hands, bye. Oh, wait, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, but you got to wait for it. And so there's a 10-day period coming up here, right? And then we'll be Pentecost according to the Hebrew calendar. So anyway, you know, we can honor both traditions. But I was like, wow, that's really cool that I get to talk on Ascension Day. And it's really cool because who did Jesus leave behind to share the message of his resurrection and the gospel of forgiveness of sins? His disciples. And so today we're going to talk about the disciples of Jesus. So it all works out very nicely. God's so cool. Now, let's get started. And I was very excited to share about one very short passage because I'm like, I've had some questions over the years. Have you ever had questions about the Bible? I hope you have had questions because it's a very interesting book. If you've not had questions, you haven't read it. So I had questions. Well, we'll back it up here a few years ago. And I remember specifically, you know, sometimes someone says something and you just like, it wasn't a big deal at the time, but it stuck with me, right? And I was talking with one of my friends some years ago, and my friend said, oh, the disciples, I love, Paul's my favorite apostle. I just love Paul. And I was like, why? Like, you know, like, and whatever, we had a little discussion, but I thought about that, and I thought, well, why would somebody think they like Paul? I mean, how do you know, right? This is 2,000 years ago, right? And it's like, well, probably because Paul has some of the most written about him, right? We have a lot of letters from Paul. So we get a general sense that we know Paul. And we're like, yeah, Paul's my guy. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Like, you know, he gets in there for truth, and he digs in, and he went to the third heavens, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, that's cool. But really, maybe Bartholomew's your guy. You just don't know Bartholomew. Or what about Thaddeus? You may love Thaddeus. You just don't know it because you don't know much about Thaddeus. And so that started my quest some years ago to be like, well, wait a second. Who are Jesus' 12 disciples? And Pastor Tom and a few others will remember when I had this question, because suddenly it wasn't so clear. I want to take here about a minute and a half, and I want you to either think by yourself or if there's somebody you're next to here, and see, can you name all 12 disciples? Let's go. Let's take a minute and a half. No cheating, no looking at the textbook. Thirty more seconds. All right, time's up. So, any brave volunteers? Tell me, what'd you come up? Give me one disciple you came up with. Or I'm going to call on people. Volunteer or voluntold? That's how it works in my classroom. Peter, one disciple. Give me another one. James. John. There's two James. Okay, we're up to four. What else we got? Thaddeus. Thomas. Andrew. Bartholomew. Judas. Two Judases. Okay, all right, we're up to 10. Not bad, not bad. Got two more. Matthew, we're up to 11. What else? Simon the Zealot. Anybody else? Thomas, we said. Not Mark, but good guess. We did say Andrew. What about Levi? What about Lebius? You got Lebius? You're crinkling your nose at me. You don't know Lebius? He's the most famous disciple that's never known. All right. Well, this is good because I love it. This is good, though, right? I want to rock your worldview just a smidge, okay? Because you may think it's easy. In fact, we're going to get a list here of 12 disciples. And you're like, bada boom, bada bing. Easy, Mr. Thompson. Give me another test. Well, I will. Try some other variations of the disciples, and you'll find some other names. And pretty soon you're like, wait, what, who? And this is part of my question. I'm like, wait a second. I'm getting more than 12 disciples here. When I start adding up all the names throughout the four Gospels, I'm getting a little confused over here. And this should not be. So, anyway, some years ago, there was a once funny comedian by the name of, what was his name? He used to be funny. Stephen Colbert. Oop, maybe you still like Stephen Colbert. Whatever. Not such a big fan now, so I'm not making a plug for Stephen Colbert, but he had an episode that he would do on his show, and it's called Better Know a District. Does anybody know this one? Better Know a District. Okay, yes, right? And, you know, the first installment of, you know, 462 or however many congressmen there are, right? Okay, so I thought, well, I love this, right? Because that show was funny. He would interview a congressman, and he would make it very awkward and have funny conversations and dialogues. And you'd get to know more about congressmen from congressional districts in the U.S., right? So I thought, well, what better way than to kick off my portion here with the one-part installment of Better Know a Disciple. And so, we are going to start off in Matthew 10, if you got your Bibles. Matthew 10, 1. And it's clever, right? It's like, better know a disciple or better know a disciple. Right? Kind of cheeky. Okay, so let's start. And he, Jesus, called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these first. Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus. And then, if you look at Thaddeus, if your Bible has a little footnote, you see down below that, some manuscripts say Lebius. Did you find it? Did you find it? The footnote down from Thaddeus in your Bible? Lebius. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And see, this one says Simon the Canaanite, right? And it's like, well, what's a Canaanite? When I did a little research on this, right, some people used to think it meant Canaanite, but it does not. He's not a Gentile. He's not a Canaanite, right? Canaanite is actually a transliteration of the, I believe, Aramaic, either Hebrew or Aramaic, I think is Aramaic word for zealot. That's why most translations now say Simon the Zealot, not the Canaanian, because it's confusing. It looks like he's a Canaanite, but he's not. I assure you, he is not. Okay, so there were a diverse group of disciples, and as far as we know, they were all Galileans. In fact, if we can pull that map up here, that'd be great. Okay, so I got two little maps here. This is a cool little site I found called thebiblejourney.org, by the way, if you're looking for maps to better understand the biblical area and time. They're really cool maps, and they're all like open source as long as you use it for church or nonprofit or whatnot, and you can find a lot. So the first map on the left there just gives you a general idea of Israel in the time of Jesus. So you can see in the very far south is Judea, right? It was a region called Judea. In the middle was Samaria, right? And up north was Galilee. This is where the disciples were from. It seems like they were probably all from there. Of course, you can see across the Jordan River to the right is Decapolis, the 10 cities, and then you've got Perea down there, and Bethany beyond the Jordan, because it's beyond the Jordan. Okay, so this is kind of cool, right? Just kind of situate your mind a little bit. So think about when the Bible talks often about the Jews this and the Jews that. Again, that can be confusing because you're like, aren't these all Jews? It's very odd that they would call them, you know, the Jews celebrated the Passover here and the Jews believe that. But the term in Greek can also mean Judean. So it's quite possible a lot of times they're talking about people from Judah, the Judeans down south versus Galileans up north, or Samaritans in the middle. Tracking? You got it? Right? It's pretty cool. Right, and so you look at the map on the right there, it kind of zooms up there into Galilee, and you can see some of the major cities of where these disciples are from. At the very north of the Sea of Galilee, you can see Bethsaida, Capernaum, right? And then you've got Gennesaret there and some others. This map over here has Nazareth and Cana as well. So I just always like to try to situate my mind where we are even a little bit when they talk about these places, right? Biblical geography really can help bring the stories to life, right? And so there are a bunch of redneck northerners. Okay, it's a little different in Israel. In the time of Jesus, it's the northerners who are the rednecks, right? They're the kind of rubes. And all the cool, like, cosmopolitan people, all the city slickers live in Judea around Jerusalem because that's where all the action is, right? So Jesus goes out to the sticks, right, and he's looking for a few good old boys to be his disciples. These are, I mean, well, let's just modernize it, you know? This is what I want to do. I want to shake off some of our way that we've always viewed things, some of our, right? Because these guys can seem like, wow, the apostles. Oh my goodness, you know, the ground that they walk upon is laid with gold. And it's like, they were guys, you know, a lot like us. In fact, maybe a little less than us, because they may have been even a little rougher. Some people here are maybe more refined than some of these guys. And so, you know, you have patriots and those who followed customs of the elders. Seems like there's those who didn't really observe many of the customs of the elders. You have a Roman collaborator. You have fishermen, you have a thief and a traitor, you have self-promoters, immature people, unknown people, sarcastic people, you have a rich disciple, you have disciples that were of John the Baptist, so they're going to be a little more ascetic, probably a little more hardcore. You're going to have two Jacobs, two Simons, and two Judas, maybe a third Judah. Possibly Thomas's name might have also been Judas as well. They're not sure. So also you can see, well, that gets a little confusing. Right? If you're a part of a family or a community where you have lots of the same names, I grew up in a church where there were a lot of Davids, you know, and it's like, David, and like four people would turn around, right? And you'd be like, no, that one, the bald one, the old one, the young one, you know? And so you're going to see some of these names. They have nicknames, right? Probably because it helps clarify, like, there's two Simons. Which Simon do you mean? Do you mean Simon the Rock, or do you mean Simon the Patriot? You know, I'm talking about the Patriot right now, right? Talking about Judas, which one? Like, the traitor, or are we talking about the one who's the Patriot, you know? And so there's probably a lot. So that's cool, right? It's like kind of like a little mob family in a way, you know, but like in a really cool way. Like, they're awesome. They serve the Godfather, right? And they, you know, the Godfather. Okay, all right, cool, whatever. So, however, there used to be one person when I was in college, and they'd always pray, and they'd be like, Godfather, and you know, and they'd just say it over, and all I could ever hear was Godfather, you know, Godfather, bless our campus, Godfather, you know, I was always like, okay, get your mind in the game, Dave, come on, we're here to pray, but all right, so, are you ready? Better know a disciple. Let's start with the first one, Simon, a.k.a. The Rock. Let's just break it down. Let's make it a little bit more like interactive, right? A little more fun. I mean, it's like, yes, it means rock, but it's like, let's think about it in more of like a realistic term, right? He probably was like, hey, it's the rock, right? Okay, so we got the rock here. His occupation, he was the leader of commercial fishing enterprise, okay? He wasn't dissimilar. He had people working for him. His brother worked for him, James and John worked for him, and probably some other people here, right? So he actually owns a business, a thriving business, it would seem, right? And he's a leader already of people in this fishing business. Location, Bethsaida, Galilee. So think back to that north of Galilee, okay? That's where Peter the Rock is living at the time when Jesus calls him. Now, let me tell you slightly about my methodology in coming into this, because there is a certain madness to my method, and it goes like this. If I want to know more about the disciples, I decided I'm going to start with just what does the Bible tell us, the biblical text. Like literally, I just went to BibleGateway.org in the ESV version, because that's just the one that I prefer. It makes sense to me. And then I just would put in, like, Peter. And then every verse that came up, I'm like, what does the Bible tell us about Peter? And I just put that into a working document. But then we find out that he has, you know, another, his name is Simon. So first I look up Simon, then I look up Peter, then I find he has another name, which could be Cephas, which also means rock, C-E-P-H-A-S, right? So I just work the permutations there, and I chuck it into a document, and then everything that doubles up, I just get rid of. And then I'm like, wow, this is what the Bible tells us about Peter, right? And then I was like, but what happened to the disciples after? Where did they go after Jesus' resurrection? How did they die, right? And so then for that, I use Fox's Book of Martyrs, right? So that, for me, if you're aware of this book, it was written in the 1500s by a historian. And so, you know, I like that. Historians like those kind of guys, right? And so I'm like, this is the one that I'm going to use. Now, it gets real squishy real quick with what happened, like where the disciples went and what happened. Different traditions have different ideas, right? And so pretty soon, if you were to research this, you could probably find other things. You know, you're like, well, I found one that said Matthew said he went to, you know, South America. And you're like, yeah, you probably would find that, or North America. You can find a lot of things. But I went with Fox's Book of Martyrs. This is kind of the most, like, simplistic, well-known, just kind of to the point thing, okay? So let's look at what does the Bible say about each one, and then where did they go after the resurrection, and how did they end up dying and leaving this world, okay? So we got Peter here. He's in Bethsaida, and so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read you what I got from the Bible. So you just kind of get a sense in your mind, though. But as you hear it, it's kind of cool for me because you start to get a sense. I started being like, oh, I actually feel like I maybe get a little bit more a sense of some of these people, especially when it gives you more information. Like, oh, I kind of get a feel for that person a little bit more. When you just read it, you know, through the stories, it kind of gets all washed in. But when you isolate each one, I was like, that's pretty cool. So let's hear a little bit about Peter. His dad's name was John, or Jonah. Apparently, those are very similar. Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of John. In the Gospels, he goes by Simon, or Peter, or Cephas. In the rest of the apostolic writings, though, I notice that he goes by Peter. So once you get out of the Gospels, it always talks about Peter. Peter this and Peter that, for like the majority of the times. I think it says Cephas once or twice. He was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. In Bethsaida, he owned a boat. He had a house with his wife. He lived with his wife's mom and his brother. When Jesus told him to let down his nets and he caught a great bunch of fish, Peter was humbled. And he told Jesus to leave him, that he was a sinful man. He understood that Jesus had the words of eternal life. He walked on water. He confessed Jesus as the Messiah. Satan knew him because he asked for Simon, or Peter, that he might sift him as wheat. And Jesus says, I prayed for you. At the Last Supper, he didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. But when Jesus said that he must, he asked him to wash his whole body. Then do everything. He's like, whoa, no, this defeat's good. He denied knowing Jesus. Post-crucifixion, Peter ran to the tomb to find Jesus after the women reported that Jesus was gone. Peter preached to the crowds on Pentecost, and he's the first recorded apostle to preach to a Gentile and baptize them. And tradition has the Gospel of Mark attributed to Peter, as well as the epistles of 1 and 2 Peter. So if you read Mark, that's attributed to Peter. Mark was his scribe, and he would have written down Peter's account. So if you read that, think, oh, would this be part of the mind of Peter, how Mark is written? And then post-resurrection, it seemed like he went out into the Jewish diaspora and ended up, and he was in Jerusalem for quite a while, and then he ended up perhaps in Rome, and he was crucified upside down. Again, You may know some other accounts. This is just coming from Fox's Book of Martyr. Okay, that's Simon, Peter, Cephas. Andrew, his brother. He is the brother of Simon. He has no cool nickname. He was a fisherman. He also was from Bethsaida, Galilee. And some things about him. He also, of course, was the son of John or Jonah. He was a brother of Simon Peter. He lived with Peter and his wife in Bethsaida. He was a disciple. This is kind of cool. He was a disciple of John the Baptist first. And then when he heard John talking about Jesus, he followed Jesus. And this was kind of cool to me. And maybe you knew it, maybe you didn't. But actually, the first recorded disciple to confess Jesus as the Messiah was Andrew. Andrew is the one who found Peter and said, "We found the Messiah, the one we're looking for." That's kind of cool. I didn't know that. Andrew is the first recorded one that confesses Jesus as Messiah. Post-resurrection, Fox's Book of Martyr has him going to Asiatic nations, which is a little generic, and then to Edessa, and they have him crucified on an X-shaped cross. So there's what's called St. Andrew's Cross, which is more of like an X shape rather than the T shape that we would think of here. All right, next we have James, a.k.a. the Son of Thunder, a.k.a. Big James. He also was a fisherman. I hope you're liking this. I was really getting into this. I'm like, these guys are so real. I would really want to hang out with these guys. These guys would be fun. He also was a fisherman. He also was from Bethsaida, Galilee. So he grew up with, you know, Peter and Andrew and these guys, it would seem, and worked with them. And what do we got about him? Fun fact. James, you know, translators translate his name as James, but if you look at the Greek, it's actually Jacob. It's actually his name's Jacob, Yaakov, and it gets translated as James for some reason. Don't know why. So anyway, Jesus actually had a disciple named Jacob. Didn't get that on your list, did you? All right, so his dad's name was Zebedee. His brother was John. James and John were business partners with Peter. He and John were present the day Peter caught the abundance of fish and became a disciple. I start to think about this, right? Okay, so the day that Peter had this whole radical thing where he's just like, I let down my net and I got like all these fish came in and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I'm a sinful man. Jesus, get away from me, right? Like I'm a sinful man. You're an awesome dude. I'm not, right? Well, James was there for that. He saw that happen. And so he was present the day Peter caught the abundance of fish and became a disciple. They were Peter and Andrew's partners in the fishing business, and they too were amazed. James and his brother, this is fun, right? They have the gall to ask Jesus to sit on his left and right in the kingdom, okay? But he's one of them. They go up to Jesus, and they're like, hey, I know that you're the Messiah, right? And in your kingdom, can we sit on your left and right? Oh, man. And by doing that, not for me to give, it says all the other disciples got kind of mad at him. They're like, what's he doing, right? How dare he do that, right? But these two, they were like, hey, I believe that you're king. And like, if I got the chance, I'm going to put a word in for myself. Hey, you know, when you're there, I mean, nobody else is asking. All right. Which is fun because even when I was talking to Marita a little bit about this, she's like, oh, interesting, right? Because when we get to John, if you think of John as the disciple that Jesus loved, right? Do we have this idea of John of being kind of this like passive individual, you know, just like he's leaning on Jesus' breast, right? Or is he the kind of dude that's going to be like, put me on your right and left hand, right? And send down fire. Well, we'll get there. Okay, James and John, here we go. They asked to call fire down on the Samaritan village when they didn't receive Jesus. So the Samaritans didn't receive Jesus. And so James and his brother John were like, hey, Jesus, you want us to call fire down from heaven on these dudes? I got you. Yeah. Man, get a lot of no's over here, but I won't give up. All right. Also, interesting. So James, the Son of Thunder, Big James, was the first martyr among the 12 disciples. He's actually the first one that died for Jesus' name. He was killed by Herod. He had James killed by the sword during the Festival of Unleavened Bread, and that's actually in the book of Acts. That's right in there. Okay, so he's the first one that went. So he had no post-resurrection ministry was a little thin, Judea, the diaspora, and he was killed with the sword by Herod. Next, John, aka the Son of Thunder, aka the disciple Jesus loved. He was a brother of James. He was zealous for Jesus. It says that he tried to stop someone casting out demons in Jesus' name because they weren't following them. He's like, hey, Jesus, these other people are trying to use your name. Like, let's stop them. And he's like, no, no, no. Like, if they're, you can't use my name and like pretty soon be against me. Like, let them be. Okay? But he was like zealous. He's like, I want this thing to be pure. That's what I would read into it, right? So all this is very fascinating for me because if you're at all interested in this and you start pulling the threads, it opens up wide doors of like meditation and contemplation to think about these things, right? To think about that. If you were just to stop, for example, here and just be like, okay, John wants to stop someone casting out demons because they're not a part of their little group. He's not in our church. And Jesus is like, okay. If they're doing my work and they're using my name, right? I mean, they're not going to soon like turn their back on me. Like, let them be. They're with us. That's very interesting, right? And you could just meditate about that. So, what kind of an individual was John, right? That he's like, and he's thinking about this, and Jesus is challenging all these guys in that. So, all right. Post-resurrection tradition has the Gospel of John attributed to John, as well as the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Book of Revelation. Post-resurrection ministry was in Asia Minor and Rome, and he was put into boiling oil, according to tradition, into a cauldron of boiling oil, but he survived. He didn't die. He was not hurt. And you're like, what do I do with this guy? So then they exile him to the island of Patmos for some time, and somewhere along the way, he died naturally. Okay, it appears, again, it gets very squishy and very sketchy. You can do a lot of research on this, and it would be a fascinating study. But it seems like John was the one disciple who actually just wasn't martyred. He died naturally, which is interesting because at one point somebody said, when Jesus is talking about the passion and the suffering, you know, and they're like, well, what about John? And he's like, hey, what is it to you if he remains to, you know, till I come? Like, things to think about. Things to think about. Next, Philip. Now, I enjoyed Philip because I didn't know much about Philip. I learned a lot on this one here. There's actually a fair amount of information about Philip, which is kind of cool. There's more information about Philip than there is about Matthew. Funny enough. All right, so let's get started. So Philip, well, first of all, it's a Greek name, Philippos, and it means horse lover. It's from the Greek word philo or philo, love or love, and ipos, which is horse in Greek. So Philippos, right, is a horse lover. He has a Greek name. He's from Bethsaida, like Peter and Andrew. Jesus tests him by asking where he would get food for the large crowds to eat. That's funny. It says that in the Bible. Like, Jesus literally went up specifically to Philip, and it said he tested him. Hey, Philip, where are we going to get food for all these people to eat? Why are you calling on me? What about John, your beloved? But Philip got tested, right? And this is fascinating, because think about if his name's a Greek name, Philippos. It says some Greeks who came to worship at Passover wanted to see Jesus. So you got these Greek, you could take that one of two ways. They actually were Greek people, or probably more likely is that they were probably Jewish people in the diaspora who were Greek speaking. In other words, they weren't from Judea and Israel area, right? And so they prominently spoke Greek, so they're going to come into Israel, right? And they're like, hey, we want to see Jesus. And who do they go talk to? Hey, dude, with a Greek name. I recognize that name. Hey, we want to go see Jesus. And Philip goes and gets Andrew and says, hey, Andrew, like, they want to see Jesus. What do we do about this, right? And then they both go and talk to Jesus and have a conversation there. And you can read what Jesus' response is to it on your own time. Things to think about. Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father and was reproved by Jesus. He says, do you not know me yet? It's like, ouch. Ugh. I just said I wanted to see the Father. Don't you know me yet, Philip? Yeah. After the resurrection of Jesus, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. He's actually a pretty radical. Listen to this. He preached Christ, and the crowds, with one accord in Samaria, paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits were crying out in a loud voice, They came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame got healed. I wanted to add that for effect because it probably was a very noisy ministry, right? This wasn't some neat, quiet, like, cue the music, you know? Like, demons are crying out, right? They're freaking out. Philip had the power of God on his life. The gospel message was freaking out the demons, right? And he was bringing the power, the healing. Paralyzed people are getting up. In Samaria, right? He's in a very uncharted territory for most Jewish people. But Philip kind of seemed like he was a little hardcore. Many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So that's in the book of Acts. He also preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch got saved and baptized. And then Philip was translated to Azotus. He just was here, and then whoosh, now he's over here. That's what translated means. Like Elijah. Elijah sometimes would be known to just be here and then be there. He's not translated somewhere else. Like, where did he go? God just whoosh, took him. Philip had that experience. How cool is that? That's pretty awesome. He's like preaching along here. These kind of things encourage me, because you ever think about, like, oh, you know, I want to like set myself up to be in the God spot, you know, so I can be where I'm supposed to be, you know? It's like, well, the God spot is just being obedient to God, because you could be here in Peoria, and if God needs you over in Houston, he could just say, Susie, whoosh, whoosh, there you are. Okay, I got something for you to do, right? There you go. Okay, see ya. Enjoy a steak while you're down there. Yeah, I mean, these things encourage me, really, because I don't know about you, but I get insecure sometimes, you know? And it's like, oh, am I really, like, where I'm supposed to be? Am I, like, you know, our culture, like, is all about, like, you know, promote yourself, get your name out there, you know, schmooze, get with the right people, be where you're supposed to be, right? And it's like, okay, I mean, sure, yeah, you could schmooze and you could, you know, sure. But at the end of the day, if God really has something for you, I'm looking at you, Richard, all the way in the back, hey, if God's got something for you, Richard, you're not going to miss it. If you want to be there, if you have a willing heart, I believe you'll be wherever you need to be. God will use you. If you believe it, raise your hand. Awesome. This is what was encouraging me, because I'm like, these guys, you know, they're just guys like us. I mean, it's like, you know, like it talks about in the New Testament, it says, you know, how Elijah was a man like us, right? And these guys were men like half of us. No, right? But they were humans like us, right? They obviously, we know that they got jealous and they had pride and they had ego, but they also had faith and they had love and they had courage. They had all the mix that we have, okay? So like us sitting here 2,000 years removed in Peoria, it's like, okay, great. Different time, different place, same stuff here. Jesus knows it and he's not put off by it, right? He called disciples then that were made of this stuff. He's calling disciples now that are made of this stuff here. Okay? Not as big as it used to be. All right. Let's go ahead now. Oh, wait, where'd we go? Oh, his post-resurrection. Okay, so post-resurrection, it seems like he was in Upper Asia, and he was died. He was scourged, imprisoned, and then crucified. Wow, those demons were really mad. I'm going to scourge you, I'm going to imprison you, and then I'm going to crucify you. Okay. Bartholomew, a.k.a. Nathaniel. Bartholomew, by the way, means son of Ptolemy. That bar, B-A-R, it's Aramaic for son of, like Simon bar Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, right? Barnabas, son of Nabas, Barnabas or Barnabi. So when we have Bartholomew, right? Bartolome, the son of Ptolemy. That's kind of like probably his last name, right? He was like, I'm the son of Tom. My mom was the son of John, Thompson, Johnson. He was the son of Ptolemy, right? So it seems like his name probably was actually Nathaniel. And he, what? He was from Cana in Galilee. Nathaniel is the one who asked if anything good can come out of Nazareth, okay? So, like, oh, this is a real man of faith, you know? Hey, I found the Messiah, and he's from Nazareth. I was like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Okay. And you're like, oh, Jesus hates this guy, you know? Wait a second, though. Look what Jesus says about when he meets him. But Jesus said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Jesus is like, I see your heart. Like, you got an awesome heart. Yeah. You want to join me? All right, post-resurrection ministry, they have him as going into India and then being severely beaten and then crucified. Like a theme here, you know? All right, next up, Thomas, a.k.a. the twin. Okay, so you'll see sometimes it'll say Didymus. Well, Didymus, again, is the Greek word for twin. So the question is, whose twin was he? We don't know. It leads to speculation. But I was reading an interesting thing by someone, and they were speculating, and once again, it's like, well, take it or leave it, but that maybe he looked like Jesus, right? And they're like, oh, it's the twin, you know? Look, he looks like Jesus, right? You know? Look at these guys. You know? But we don't know, right? The twin. But it isn't like it ever gives a brother to him. It's not like, oh, he was the twin of Nathaniel or Thaddeus. You know, it's just they call him the twin. So was this, again, holy imagination? Was this kind of like an inside joke, you know, tongue-in-cheek? It's like Jesus is here. Oh, no, it's just the twin. You guys, people here probably watched The Chosen, right? I'm sure a lot of people have probably watched The Chosen. And but I've seen these, kind of funny ads on YouTube sometimes. And it'll have Jonathan Rumi on there. He's the guy who plays Jesus in The Chosen, you know. And he'll be there with, Mark Wahlberg, I think. Mark Wahlberg, because they have this app called Hallow for prayer. You know, and Mark will be like, oh, I'm just here hanging out with Jesus. You know, and then Jonathan will always be like, oh, not the Jesus. Like, that's Jesus. You know, I'm the guy who plays Jesus, right? The twin. The twin. That's how, in my mind, that's how I see it, right? I'm here with the twin. I'm here with Jesus. And they're like, ha-ha. Okay. But here's the thing about Thomas. When I read through it, and again, you got to use your whole imagination, but it seems like Thomas might have been a little sarcastic, maybe a little snarky, right? Quite possibly a bit sarcastic. For example, he's reported as saying, when they were talking about Lazarus and how Lazarus died, and Jesus is like, it's okay, I'm going to go, and we're going to make this right. And he says, you have to interpret however you interpret it, right? Let us go also that we may die with him too. Okay, there's a way you could read that, right? Let us go that we may also die. I mean, I don't know how that ever sounds like a good thing. Was it more sarcastic? Like, well, let's go so we can die too. All right, this crazy thing we're on over here. Gosh, gonna get me killed over here, Jesus. Okay? You gotta work through it, but this is part of the fun of it, right? It's like, who are these people? Better know a disciple. Better know a disciple. Okay, so also though, let's see. When Jesus speaks of his coming departure, Thomas asks where he is going and how they will know how to get there. Again, was that in earnest, or was it more like, well, where are you going? How are we going to know how to get there? Got to use your whole imagination. But I could kind of hear Thomas being a little bit more on the snarky end, right? Because he gets a little slight reproof from Jesus. And he says, Thomas, if you'd know me, you'd know the Father also. But he gets a little reproof there. So, right, we don't know. It's like a text. The tone is all in your head. It's very dangerous to give texts. Because you don't know what the tone of the other person's head is when they're reading your text, right? Okay, 8 days later, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to all the disciples. Before that. The disciples were all gathered together, it says in John 20, except one. Thomas wasn't there. Now, where was Thomas? Why wasn't he with everyone else? Again, post-resurrection, you know, you imagine the text thread goes out, hey, everybody, you know, gather at the upper room. Like, everybody's like, be there, thumbs up, like, da-da. And Thomas, like, never responds. And they get there, and they're like, hey, where's Thomas? They're like, I don't know, I haven't heard from him. I'm like, well, that's weird. Why isn't he here? Why isn't Thomas there? So he was not with the other disciples when Jesus appeared to them. Jesus wanted to meet with them post-resurrection, and everybody's there except Thomas. And then, when they tell Thomas, dude, we met Jesus, he's like, no, come on, I don't believe it. Unless I see it, unless I touch him, nah. So 8 days later, Jesus makes good on that, right? And he appears to them all. And again, he reproves Thomas for his unbelief. Why do you continue to unbelieve, Thomas? Okay, so Thomas, right? If you know, if you're a little bit more on the melancholy side of life, maybe a little more on the snarkster, maybe Thomas is your man. Not that anybody here would be like that. Okay, what about him? Post-resurrection, though, he does seem to kind of get his stuff together. He ends up going to Parthia, Persia area, India, and he ends up being thrust through with a spear. Isn't that fascinating? It's just interesting, right? He says, unless I, you know, see the marks and put my finger in the spear hole, right? Man, he dies by being thrust through with a spear. Is there like an irony here? Things to think about. James, a.k.a. Little James. We don't know what his occupation was. Location was Galilee. Post-resurrection ministry, unknown. Death, unknown. Unknown. You ever feel like an unknown? It's okay. Jesus knows you. Next up, that's all we got for him. That's it. That's little James. We got a nickname, and he's in Galilee, and he's a disciple. There's little James. Little about little James. All right, next, Thaddeus. This is a fun one. A.K.A. Judas, son of James. A.K.A. Levikins. Mm-hmm. Lebius. Now, I got a little help here from my friends, right? And I did a little research because this one piqued my interest. And anyway, I could talk to you more about it later. But one of the ideas is that Lebius, which is that little footnoted name that you're like, wait, what is that name? Lebius, right? Could be something akin to, like, you know, Lovykins, Lovey Bear, like Cuddly Boy, whatever you want to put that into modern parlance, okay? Right, so that's not the kind of thing. That's not like a cool nickname. You got like the Son of Thunder, and you got the Rock, and you got Lovykins, you know, and you're like, ah, oh, I got the, hate that nickname, right? Just call me Judas, son of James, okay? Perhaps. His occupation was also unknown. Location, Galilee. His post-resurrection ministry was unknown. Is there anything else we know about him? Oh, interesting thing, though. At the Last Supper, he asked Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? That's what we have from Lovykins. All right, next up, we got a roll. We got to Matthew, a.k.a. Levi, tax collector. He's from Capernaum. He went to Parthia in Ethiopia, and he was slain with a halberd. You don't know what that is? Look it up. I did. Okay, next. We're out of time. We got to go. We got Simon, a.k.a. the rebel or the patriot, however you want to take it, right? A zealot. The zealot. The rebel. The patriot. Maybe a little of both, right? This is the guy that's like, I'm all for my country, right? And we're going to take it back from Rome. We're going to fight for liberation, right? We're going to install a godly government in Rome. And yeah. And okay, right? Well, he went to North Africa in Mauritania and into Britain, and they have him as being crucified in Britain, interestingly enough there. All right, we got next, lastly but not leastly, Judas Iscariot, a.k.a. the traitor. Well, that's a junky nickname to get, but that's how it talks of it. The one who betrayed him, the traitor, okay? Occupation, he was possibly a zealot. He was from Galilee. His post-resurrection ministry was none. His death was suicide. This is a very tragic end to someone who could have been so great. All right, the last thing that I want to say is this. I wish we had more time, but you have more time. And but some interesting things that come up, right? When I did a study like this, for example, you find out who Jesus' closest friends were. You know, within his 12, he had that group of three that were there for three key specific events, right? You also find out, what else do you find out? Peter and John seem to have had an interesting, like a special relationship. There's a lot of things that Peter and John did together in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Check it out if you're interested. I could always talk to you more, too, or if you want some more notes, I'd be happy to share it with you here. But the last thing I want to say is, look, many of these guys had nicknames, seemed like they were friends, that they were real and funny. Some were sarcastic, doubtful, self-promoting. They made mistakes. They let each other down, and they even let Jesus down at times. They misunderstood Jesus' teaching at times. One seems to have stolen money, and they've abandoned Jesus in his greatest hour of need. But these were his guys. These are the people he chose to hang with, okay, and to build his whole ministry on. Jesus didn't give up on them. And I want to say, you know, that some people are virtually unknown, like James, little James. They're virtually unknown to us, but they're known to Jesus. And what's really cool is in Revelation 21, if you read that, it says in the new Jerusalem that will come out of the sky, that there's 12 gates with the 12 tribes of Israel. And on the foundation are written the names of the 12 apostles. There's Thaddeus written up there. Or are they going to write Lovykins? I don't know which one they're going to write. Peter. James, little James, big James, John, Simon the Zealot, Levi, Thomas, I doubt it, right? Andrew. So here's one last thing. Judas Iscariot disqualified himself. Who's the 12th disciple on there? Things to think about. And when we go to that heavenly city of Jerusalem, I hope everyone here and everyone on the live stream, I hope you all know and follow Jesus. There's always time to turn around and follow him. Because I hope on the someday we all enter through those 12 gates into Jerusalem. And I hope we go and find those foundations with the name of the apostles right there. okay, and that we'll gather around. And we'll see who that 12th apostle is that's written there, because I'm really interested. Is it Matthias that they, is it you? Is it Matthias that they chose by lots? Is it Paul? Is it somebody else we didn't know about? Things to think about. But I hope to see you, not too soon, but someday in the New Jerusalem, and we'll gather around those names and we'll have a good discussion. God bless. Have a great day.